But somewhere along the line, I do think those sort of dairy spreadsheet wars that I referenced, I'll say, you know, broadly, folks who like to talk about managing slots rather than managing cows, like we've removed the cow from the conversation, and that's what I worry about. And so my talking about thriving is to try to put back, like, let's get the cow back into the conversation.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Steel, ventilation, cow cooling, cow-centric design, engineered in Canada by InBarn Solutions. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. This podcast is dedicated to bringing to you the latest insights in the dairy industry, and we hope to bring you the most up-to-date topics and all the information that will make a difference on your business and to your clients. I'm Dr. Luciano Cacheta, and I have the pleasure to host today again, once again, Dr. Jen Walker, who is co-founder and chief animal welfare officer of the Kinder Ground. And we had a really good discussion a few weeks ago about welfare and milk quality, and we didn't have enough time to talk about all the topics we wanted. So Dr. Walker was kind enough to come back and spend some time with us again. So here she is.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. In a previous episode, we talked a lot about like welfare and milk quality. And I feel like we had to cut it short because we're trying to make short conversations here. But we were talking at that episode, we were talking about we're into forest stripping, people foregoing forest stripping, and we're talking about like some of this, it's a cost or it's an investment or whatever it is that's very hard for them to capture. So they say, oh yeah, I'll just let that go because I'm not seeing that on my paycheck or something like that. So forest stripping is definitely one of those. And there's definitely other ones in the farm that might be leading to this effect on welfare. And welfare is, I think it's a big case of, it's really hard to capture or put a dollar sign to it, right? Like we see a lot of different perspectives and different management strategies. They are beneficial for welfare that many times people are not using because they don't see the improvement in milk production as much as they expect, right? So how can we, and again, this is probably like another impossible question I'll ask you, but like in your experience, how can we bring this people to the table to talk about those aspects? They are not so much like if you do something that's we improve milk production by a couple pounds, like it's easy for them to understand. So how can we get people more into this discussion and defending or whatever a verb it is for the welfare aspect?
Yeah, I think that has always been the hardest thing when trying to make improvements for welfare on farms, because everybody wants to know like, well, what's, you know, even in the businesses, what's the return on investment, right? And again, I think that's a fair reality. We are running a business. It's okay. It's okay that we're profiting, right? And so again, it's finding that balance. But with welfare, so much of what we do is when we don't do welfare right, when we don't get it right, there is an invisible tax. So we talked a little bit about in the last time, it's overstocking. It's, you know, it goes back to the very beginning, not giving your calves enough milk, or, you know, chicken and egg, not providing your dry cows heat abatement. Like all of these little things so hard to measure on farm. We got lots of good research, but you know, those are some long-term studies as well. On a farm, it's so hard to capture that. And then frankly, so many other things can go wrong along the way, right? So how do you isolate it to that one thing? And so it is hard to do. And honestly, I think where I've had the most success, and this comes currently to my work with Kinder Ground and working with farmers, is that farmers learn best with other farmers. Like, we can have all kinds of data. And so what? But if a farmer comes to somebody and explains that I'm not going to stop forest stripping because of XYZ, and can show that his all of the downstream effects, that his milkers are happier, all of the things that he sees that we're not capturing. And I think I get frustrated with who I call the spreadsheet warriors, who tell us how we're supposed to do everything because his spreadsheet says so. There's so many things that aren't captured in a spreadsheet. Not everything that counts can be counted is what I try to help farmers understand when we're talking about doing things a little better. And when we make those changes with farmers, finding those farmers that'll say like, oh my gosh, I'd never do it different again. Like, I'm so glad I do it this way. And they'll even say, it may even cost me more money today, but I know down the road I'm making more money. I know down the road this is better for my cows. And I think there are some farmers that do come to it a little bit more intuitively than others. And I think then trying to get those farmers, creating a community where farmers can share those experiences and ideas and learn from each other, I think that's actually the best avenue. You know, I've had a lifetime of trying to convince people of stuff about data, but it just doesn't work. Maybe that's why I hate spreadsheets. I'm not a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Well, but they also we also mentioned in the previous episode too, like the bankers have their spreadsheet and that's what they bring to them, right? So like it again, it's optimizing again, right? Like, you've seen both sides when we're having this conversation.
WiseNetX turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetX.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
And that brings me to a point that I brought up in the previous one that we didn't have time to talk about, and we discussed it briefly before the episodes here about there's a lot of people talking about longevity. There's a lot of people also talks about resilience. We see that very often. And you also bring the concept of thriving. Can you explain to the audience like a little bit about the thriving aspect and why move it from longevity to thriving? Or
Yes, I'm happy to, because I am so sick of longevity, not because I don't believe in it. Not that I don't believe it's valuable and important. It's just become such a point of confrontation with folks that I it's kind of spiraled into just unproductive conversations that
I've been through these discussions, and I think they're both sides are saying the same thing from different directions and they just don't see it.
Yeah, I've heard some of the craziest things get said that I'm like, that is strange. Like, and yeah, so I've tried to just step away from it. So, because I think it's an important, like, let me be clear, like, death is not a welfare issue. Absolutely. Death is not a welfare issue. Dying is, and how one suffers through that process, but so is chronic pain. So is illness. And that's the problem. And it's also a fact that age is not a disease. And maybe I think about that more now that I'm getting old and I want to believe that. But somewhere along the line, I do think those sort of dairy spreadsheet warriors that I referenced, I'll say, you know, broadly, folks who like to talk about managing slots rather than managing cows, like we've removed the cow from the conversation, and that's what I worry about. And so my talking about thriving is to try to put back, like, let's get the cow back into the conversation. Like you said, in one of those meetings, I think somebody was making the argument, like, we need to call them before we break them. And I was like, okay, I get it. Better decision sooner. We want cows fit for transport, but let's not break them to begin with. Like, let's not do that, or at least not break them so soon. Right. And so again, death is not a welfare issue in the long term. So So I think understanding that, like, no one has ever said we want to compromise welfare for the sake of longevity. No sane conversation, right? But it was just kind of it was like so unproductive. And I felt like people were arguing for the sake of arguing. And I'm guilty of it. So I was like, I'm done. And so I just want to get away from it. And kind of stealing a phrase from Nigel Cook, who said, like, we should hold farms accountable to the quality of cows leaving the herd. 100%. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we need to hold farms accountable for the welfare of the cows while they're in the herd. And so figuring out what that looks like. And to me, that means thriving. So creating this environment where you think of quality over quantity, when we build and manage systems so that animals can live well, can be comfortable, their physical, their behavioral, their emotional needs are met. And we're not regularly or predictably compromising health or welfare. And if we look at most of our systems, if we're tolerating 25% lameness and 30% mastitis, whatever the numbers are, that's not thriving. That's, you know, so I think thinking of it in that way, like, let's just, part of it was like, let's remove ourselves from this conversation because I don't think it's productive. Let's call it something else. I think it's what people were getting at, like, genuinely, like, we all want cows to thrive. Like, who doesn't? Mm-hmm. I haven't met a dairy farmer who doesn't like cows. None of us is in this business because we don't like cows, like, I hope. And so I think some of us get sidetracked with spreadsheets and stop focusing on. And again, I think when we start talking about slots versus cows, I get worried. That's when I kind of see us going towards that maximizing. That's my red flag for, like, whoa, we're maximizing. We're talking about slots again. Let's bring it back. And let's remember that we're talking about cows, and we're talking about the people who have to milk them, and what does it mean to them? You know, they're not a slot either. And so,
wow. And I think it brings a toll. And you have been to farms, like, really good farms, that for some reason they have an outbreak of a disease or some issues, and that number of cows dying or leaving the herd, it has a toll on the people working with those animals too, right? So it's part of the equation that's definitely something that the farm doesn't sell, right? Like, they're not selling the welfare of their own people, but that might decrease productivity and people leaving their farm and having to hire new people. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah, I think it's huge. Like, when we think about caring for our caregivers, we want our people to come to work, to want to come to work. And that, when, you know, I love going to farms when they can say, like, you know, this person's been here for 30 years, this person's been here for 20 years. That's institutional memory. Like, never mind, like, a good person, right? That is a valuable person to have on the farm. And those people don't come because they don't like cows. I mean, farming is hard enough. Like, so farming's hard enough. So you gotta like cows. And milking cows. Oh Lord. Like,
it's, you know, hard work.
It's hard work. And how many, like, I do think, you know, making sure we've all had to do it a good while. Like, when's the last time we've all milked a shift?
Yes. Oh, that
probably never.
Yes. Yeah.
I can go back to my PhD days, right? So when I had to milk the whole herd, but, you know, and a big herd of that. But I think it's good to kind of get back in there and see what we're asking folks to do. And that's where I do kind of going back to the milk quality and the other things, and the rate at which we're pushing cows through parlors. It's rough on people. And to a point, in some ways, I think it's dangerous. And I think we need to think about that. And it's not going without, there's not a, it's a hidden tax. I'm going to go back to that. And we need to think about those. And we talked a little about, you know, again, profit, also understanding that the banker, I had a conversation with the farmer, and I get totally the pressure of the banker, the pressure of the processor, all these things. I do think it's important for them to all understand none of those people care about them or the success of their farm unless it means their success. And so I think for them to understand, you know, really who has their best interests at heart is important, and understand that those folks aren't going to see with those compromises, those hidden taxes. They don't see those hidden taxes at all, and they're not interested in them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not interested. They don't care. They'll move on. There's other farms.
Good. But so I think that it's good for us to finish in a positive note, like the thriving, like we should all, and I feel like the vast majority of the people involved in their industry, the vast majority, I'm not saying all because I don't want to generalize, but like, I'm sure like besides very few bad actors, like we all are interested on the cow thriving and the industry to be successful, like in general. So I really like having conversations like this. I think it brings that to discussion. I think it's very important to make the dairy industry as a whole a better industry for us to support, like what we do, and we as veterinarians, like as a veterinarian, to provide food for the population. I think that's like one of the most noble things we can do.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. And I think making sure we, you know, keep that in focus and don't compromise that. It's all we can do, and we can only do our best. I don't ever want folks to think we're not trying our best. We just need to sometimes straighten up a little bit.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for spending more time with us. I really enjoyed these conversations, and I hope we'll get to bring you to the podcast again later in the future. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Take care.
This concludes another episode of the Dairy Health Black Belt podcast presented to you by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us today. Do not forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episodes, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable for us to make us this podcast better. Until next time, this is the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, and I'm Dr. Luciano Cacheta. Thank you. Bye.